5th chapter of Luke, it said, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. If I could paraphrase and just say, for a big catch of fish. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Hallelujah. I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. The word of God said, and he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at this big catch of fishes which they had taken. Praise God. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. How many times do we find this in the word of God? Some have said they've counted one for every day of the year. A fear not. Because from this time, from henceforth, you will catch men. Fishers of men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, I'm just as serious as I know how to be tonight in saying, as we look at this portion of God's word, that this is God's key for things to just break loose in a stronger way. The blessings of the Lord don't always, as Brother Hagin, you say, just fall like ripe cherries off a tree. There's faith. There's obedience. There's sometimes sacrifice. Many times it's us doing something we didn't feel like doing or didn't necessarily want to do, not that we were against the Lord. But as I looked at the message that I brought, if you just let me just kind of go through it just from a pastor's heart tonight, I'm not trying to preach a great sermon or teach a great lesson. But first of all, we said, in turning your nothing into abundance. Now that's important. Do you want to turn where you are into something lesser? I don't want to be a lesser person in 2013 than I've been in 2012. I don't want to be a lesser person. But the grace of God, I'd like to say that I'm going to rise to even if it's a little bit, just a higher level, that our church is going to rise to a higher level. Our church has not seen its greatest days. I haven't seen my greatest days. You haven't seen your greatest days. But the keys that God showed me, he doesn't want our boats to be idle, and he doesn't want empty nets, and he doesn't want discouraged fishermen or believers. And so it's important that we let Jesus use our boat. God didn't give us this auditorium to host rock stars, have rock concerts. I'm just giving it for instance. He didn't give us those three buses we've got just to make, you know, basketball runs or soccer runs or you know, just some school. And that's important. That's important. So one thing we've done in letting Jesus use our boat, we looked around and said, let's start using the boats we got. Let's use the boats we have. The first thought that I had when we were re-entering, thinking of the bus ministry, I thought, oh, dear Lord, we used to buy buses when they were kind of cheap. I mean, you could get some real bargains, but today buses aren't the same price that they used to be. But we found out that if we'd use what we have, that God would give us something more. And then, of course, we've leased, I don't know, a couple of buses, a couple, three buses. And that way, in the next number of, well, you know, like a 6-hour period of time, you get the driver, you get the gas, you get the insurance, you don't have to make the payments. You know, you don't have the full responsibility that you would have if you went out and bought a nice bus. It'd be nice to have a fleet of nice buses and have a nice garage to put them in, but that's not where we are. But what we're employing is using what we've got. Using what we've got. On Bear Street in the post office, we used every square inch. I mean, I look back and I just, we bought some, you know, we bought almost 2 city blocks, but we'd gut a house and put another children's church in it. And it was just amazing the way we utilized that space, every square inch of it. Praise God. But what I'm saying from a pastor's heart, purpose in your heart. I mean, write this down. Lord, show me. Tonight's kind of a, Lord, show me. I know Pastor preached about this and we got all excited about this and Pastor got excited. But how can I let Jesus use my boat in a greater way? That's a good question. How can I let Jesus use my boat in a greater way? I'm not talking about a boat on the lake, as you know, but I mean it can be anything. Even just your time. You can become a neighborhood evangelist. Amen. You can evangelize, 2 city blocks or 8 city blocks. How can we use our boat? And remember, when they let Jesus use their boat, it costs taxes, insurance, payroll, depreciation, time, money. But the biggest thing that using Peter's boat cost was him. And you know, even more than the money we give, God wants us. More than screaming, shouting, running, doing cartwheels or whatever, God wants your heart to say, I love you. Amen. And all the rest goes along. So, you know, Jesus, he wasn't content with idle boats. I know boats have to rest sometime and you have to rest sometime, but these boats had not been catching fish that day, and he saw that. There were empty nets. Fishing nets are made to catch fish, and they had not caught fish that day. God wants our nets to catch fish. And you know those fishermen had to be discouraged when you fished all day and the fish you catch pay the banker, make the payments, you know, pay the expenses of it. But going further, how to turn your nothing into God's abundance in a greater way. Ask God how he can use your boat in a greater way. Secondly, they obeyed his leading. He entered into the ship. He entered into the ship and he called for change. He said, thrust out a little bit. Obey his leading. There's more to life than just doing what we want to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? He comes into the boat. No sooner got into the boat than he asked for change. And then listening to his word, because now that the boat is away, we know the truth. That voice on the waters was his, quote, PA system. And that's the way his voice was amplified to reach the multitudes. So Jesus began to teach them from the boat. Listen to his word. I've begun to read through the Bible again this year. And it's hard to explain. I love starting out in Genesis. I just love it. Now, there's some of those chapters I have to get some grace, you know, to lock in and hold in. I mean, there are some days that you don't have the victory yet. But I mean, when you're going through, God said to Abraham, and Abraham did what God said to do, and Abraham got up and he moved. And, you know, it's just exciting. And then you go over to Luke and my particular reading and reading through Luke and you see what God's doing. His word. There's just something about sitting still reading God's word. There's something about sitting still reading God's word. Just reading it. Hallelujah. I have 2 documents. I have the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And I can read that, or I can read the word. I got the paper out of the front door, just simply to get it out of whatever elements may be there. But you know, I've got a decision to make. Am I going to read the paper first, or am I going to read the Word of God first? And if you'll put the Word of God in your spirit first, there's just some, I can't explain it. Do it. You'll understand what I'm saying. Man, when you get to read four chapters a day, you can read the Bible through in 1 year. 4 chapters a day. That's all you have to read. 4 chapters a day. And you'll be through the Word of God. But as you read those chapters, man alive, I go through Noah and I'm looking at what Noah did. And boy, my heart was made heavy as I saw Lot's wife. She turned back for one more shopping trip. She couldn't keep her eyes off of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, I'm not trying to be foolish. That was a very serious moment. Turn to a pillar of salt. When God says don't look around, don't look around. When God says don't look back, don't look back. When God says don't look up, don't look up. I mean, God's instructions were very plain. Don't look back. That's a word from God right there. So without anything else holding it up, I want to just stay there just a moment. God's speaking to all of us. It's good to remember. You know, there's two pieces of glass in your car. One's called a rearview mirror that's about the size maybe of this microphone. And then there's a big old windshield. And really, a rearview mirror is important to keep you from backing into a telephone pole. But you can't drive looking at the rearview mirror. You've got to drive looking out the windshield. Amen. The rearview mirror is just a check to see what's happening around you. But God doesn't want us to look back. What should have been, might have been, could have been, ought to have been. Thank God things are as good as they are. Hallelujah. Don't look back. Don't go back. Don't have back in your thinking. Have forward in your thinking. Hallelujah. Move forward. Go forward. We all have to work on that. I have to work on that. We all have to work on it. Obey His leading. Listen to His word. And then be willing to go all out. You know, this all out business can tire you out sometimes. You know, it seems like this church has had the pedal to the metal ever since we started 48 and a half years ago. Be willing to go all out. You know, there's no way for a church to go forward without us being willing to give it everything we've got. I'm preaching to my shadow back here now. There's 3 of me back here. 4. Praise God. We're multiplying. Amen. Praise God. Nothing has ever worked unless I gave it everything I had. Be willing to go all out. Launch out. He said, launch out. Launch out. Launch out. Launch out. Isn't that something? Praise God. Hallelujah. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. Launch out. Launch out. That's what God's saying. Launch out. That's what He's telling this church. I know it's not shouting time, but this is stretching time. Amen. This is stretching time. Be willing to go all out. Launch out. Even when you've tried and when you've failed. Even when you feel like you've burned out, go again, give again, pray again, hold on again. Hallelujah. Shout the victory again. Sing a victory song again. Go again. Go again. You remember the prophet of God when he sent his servant out to look for the cloud. And he'd come back and say, there's nothing out there. Nothing out there but a cloud the size of a man. Finally, he said, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, that's one I've been looking for. But Lord, we need rain. No, all you need is a cloud the size of a man's hand. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Go deeper. Don't quit. Go deeper. Don't quit. Go deeper. Don't quit. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I have to pinch myself. I don't know that I ever really understood all that we would evolve into, but sometimes I look around and I think when absolutely it seemed like nothing was going for my ministry, when it seemed like nothing was happening, no doors were open. You know, anywhere I go, I've sown seed to go there. Amen. I've sown a lot of seed over a period of time, but you know, there was a time when there just seemed like nowhere to go, no doors open. Mowing the grass, man, that was boring, especially when half of it's gravel, you know? You know, it's just, but you know, you just keep on doing what God told you last. Hallelujah. Like Martin Luther King, I had a dream. I had a dream. I believe there could be a church that could reach the help reach the this metroplex. Hallelujah. I believe there could be a church where we could see greater revival. I believe there could be a church where we could see the power of God working. Before Christian education was hardly, the Catholics have always had Christian education, but before there were Christian education schools available, I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we have our own school and we can teach kids. They not only have good academics, but they can learn the Word of God. Act on His Word. Act on His Word. At Thy Word. At Thy Word. Launch out. At Thy Word. At Thy Word. Hallelujah. And then there's another insight that I brought out. So get ready for abundance. You know, it's amazing how many even, quote, prosperity people have a poverty mentality. You may be broke, but you don't have to have a poverty mentality. Don't have a poverty mentality. I know there's some people that blow it all out of proportion. And they, well, if you don't have a Rolls Royce, you're not into faith. That's a bunch of, you know, I've never bought that. But I tell you what, you know, heaven drives pretty good. I mean, heaven's got more turbo chariots than you ever dreamed possible. I mean, heaven, you talking about horsepower? Hey. You haven't seen all of heaven's horsepower. Heaven's got real horsepower, real chariots. But you know, God wants us to start thinking abundance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember I haven't had time to fool with them the last few years, but I've always kind of had an eye for cars, mind for cars. In fact, that's the way I helped support our ministry. As humble as it was, I'd pick up a car wholesale that needed some work on it, and I knew where to get it fixed. And I had car dealers wanting to buy my cars. I bought a car from a car dealer and sold it back to him for $500 profit. And he said, man, I didn't remember this car being in such good shape. I said, after we'd closed the deal, I said, it wasn't. It wasn't. I got it. We got it detailed. We got those scratches taken out. We slicked it up. Amen. Praise God. It's getting pretty sharp when you can get ahead of a car dealer. Or find something. They're just all kind of things. I don't have that anointing on me right now because I don't have time to fool with it. But, I mean, there was a time when you could buy cheap and work on it a little bit. In fact, my banker, it used to be the old Continental Bank, he told my dad, he said, I don't know if he missed his calling. I think he should have been a car dealer. Because I'd borrow some money for him, and then he'd see, you know, just it helped. It just helped. But you know what God wants us to do? Wherever you are, not to be prideful, but just envision things being better than they are. Hallelujah. No matter what God's doing, just see it on a bigger plane. I remember, you'll laugh when I tell you, but you know, I put my faith on the line, and then finally someone contacted me, and they'd buy a new Lincoln. That's when you could buy them worth of money way back when. And they said, would you like to buy my used Lincoln? Man, when I found out what they want, they was trying to get rid of it. Well, I was trying to find one. So I got it, and then we got to trading out and trading ever so often. And so I had those big old long Lincolns. You know, they call them lead sleds back then. But, it was silver gray and had a red interior. Man, it was a cat's pajamas, I tell you. And I went out to the airport and picked up Fred Price. Anybody ever seen Fred Price on television? Have you ever seen Fred? Anybody's ever seen Fred Price? Say amen. So I picked him up, and he told me later on, he said, you know, Bob, you challenged my faith. And he said, I went home, put my faith on the line. I got me a Lincoln now. But now he's still ahead of me because he drives a Rolls. I don't want a Rolls. That's not my dream. That's not my desire. But he said, your faith challenged me. He said, riding in your Lincoln challenged me. Well, not everybody wants a Lincoln, but I mean, that's the way that worked out. Praise God. And I think about that every once in a while. We challenge one another. Our faith challenges one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Get ready for abundance that helps you and others. See, those disciples, I mean, they got an empty boat, got empty nets. They're not doing anything, not working. Now they let Jesus come into their boat. Let me tell you, Jesus will be debtor to no man. You take God on as a partner and get ready, business is going to increase. Isn't that right, Troy? You take God as your partner. Take God as your partner. God in company, Jesus in company, and things are going to start picking up around your place. Get ready for abundance that helps you. But you know, God help us to have abundance that only helps us. A true believer seeks for abundance that not only helps them, but helps others in the harvest. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ooh, hallelujah. I've got so many stories flashing in my head, I'm having to say time out here. I mean, I'm trying to preach, and just times when we've given and we've gone and we've seated buses and we've given away so many cars over a period of time, and we've given away buses to churches didn't have one, and just a lot of things that we've done over a period of time. But you know, the places I go, and I've had to back off, of course, we had some internal stuff that needed to be dealt with this last year, but the places I go, I've sown seed there. I've sown seed in people's lives. There are churches whose doors are open because of Calvary Cathedral International. There are ministries that are still in the ministry. Unfortunately, there's a few that have failed God. And they thought it was all over and they were ready to quit the ministry. But we went out and prayed with them and got things cranked up again. And over a period of time now, they're back on the freeway again, going for God. Didn't quit. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can win after sin. You can overcome after you've blown it, after you've missed it. It's not all over when you miss it, when you blow it. Get ready for abundance that helps you and helps others. And the other point that I'm just reviewing, really, my message Sunday morning. Value the power of partnership. You know, the truth is, we need each other. We need each other. You never know when you're... You know, I've had people on staff didn't think they needed me. They thought they were a lot smarter than I was, and they probably were, but there's one thing they overlooked. I'm boss. I don't wear that on my sleeve, but it's there. Praise God. And I just want to encourage us to see the power of partnership. We need each other. We need each other. I've seen the people that have been here, been faithful over a period of time. It's amazing how God blesses them. God blesses faithful people. God blesses faithful people. I said, God blesses faithful people. It pays to be in the right place at the right time. It does. It does. Praise God. Value the power of partnership. See, together we can do more than we could ever do apart. Brother Gary, I know I wouldn't want to try to pastor a church without people helping me. And Lighthouse wouldn't work without people helping, you know, there. We're workers together. Workers together. And you know, together, I say to the average, God bless them, they've done a tremendous job for Lighthouse, for the church. Together we can get the job done. This is science fiction stuff that a church at 1701 Oakhurst Scenic Drive in Fort Worth, Texas has a 50,000 watt television station over there. And you can go see, you can go to the president. I mean, everybody can't go see the president. Everyone cannot have an audience with the president there. And we don't abuse that privilege either. But if you need something special, you can pick up the phone and call the president's secretary, and you can go where others cannot go. I mean, you go through all kind of armed guards and all kind of security. We've been there on more than one occasion. Partners. That's a long way from Florida. Presidential Palace is a long way from seminary. But that's the way God thinks. I mean, where you are, don't let where you are dampen your faith at all on where you're going. Ooh, I just said something that's shout worthy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I'm just so thankful to God. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. In the natural, I'm not qualified to do what God's called me to do. In the natural, this church, there's no way we should be doing. And we're not doing the greater. We're not the only one. Please don't take that. But I mean, it's the grace of God on this place. It's the grace of God in our life that takes the loaves and the fishes and feeds the multitude. It's not our great talent, our great charisma, our great ability. But it's the grace of God in our life. It's the help of God, the strength of God. How that God helps us to multiply our little bit and our nothing. Fished all night and caught nothing, but now they have two boatloads of fish. Never stop following Jesus. Never stop following Jesus. Never stop following Jesus. They forsook all and followed him. But I think I said all that to come to this point as I look into the next chapter here, and I don't have time to get into that and spend a lot of time there, but let me just give you what I see the key. Your faith obedience is the key to miracles. Your faith obedience is the key to miracles. I remember when we drove over to Dallas. I mean, you talk about hard time. For 2.5 years, I don't know how. Thank God I was younger then. Thank God I was younger. Teach twice a day. Drive over there. And a couple of three times went to sleep. It's just a miracle I didn't total a car coming back. You know what I was doing? I was sowing seed for us to have a Bible school. I was sowing seed for our church to do greater business and greater waters. That's all I could do right then. I really couldn't hardly get out of town because we had attorney's calls and trying to get financing. Oh, it was, I mean, there's times I'd go between sessions over at Word of Faith and have to talk to attorneys, then go right back into class. And that's where I learned to depend upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It's just like you stepped out of a snake pit into the glories of heaven. Hallelujah. Learn to trust the anointing of God. Learn to depend upon him. Learn to reach out and let the Holy Ghost learn. Praise God. You can step out of your nothingness and you can see the greatness of God. But as you look in the next, their faith obedience, I believed, opened that next chapter. Opened that next chapter when, there's so many miracles. The man with palsy was healed. I mean, there were all kind of miracles that happened because your faith obedience is the key to miracles. It's not your faith, it's not your pipe dream, it's your faith obedience. Do something. Wayne Myers, I learned that principle of Wayne Myers. Do something lest you do nothing. I don't mean works of the flesh, but I mean some people wait all their life to do something. Do what you can do. Do what's at your hand to do. Amen. Go through the open door God has given you. Take advantage of the blessing that is before you. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. And I mean, when you go, you even go further into this fifth chapter and get over into the sixth chapter, I mean, multitudes are coming. They're hungry to hear the word of God. A multitude came and was healed. Oh my, it's just, if I got started in that, we'd be here a long time. But you see, faith obedience, I believe the faith obedience of chapter 5 of Luke opened up the miracles of Luke chapter 6 and Luke chapter 7. Hallelujah. Because he said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you who he is like. He's like a man that built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation. I'm over in the sixth chapter, verse 48. laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood came and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That's what God's trying to do in all of our lives. Let our foundation be so deep. Let our building be so structured. Let us be so dependent on God that no matter what Satan brings, he can't shake us. My. We don't build on the sinking sand. We build on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our faith obedience is the key to miracles. Do what you can do. Do what you can do. Go where you can go. Witness where you can. I mean, there's people, they don't think witnessing in the United States is important. It's a soul is a soul wherever you find a soul. And if you won't witness in America, your passport and getting on an airplane is not going to help you at all. Do what you can do where you are, and God will give you greater opportunities in a greater field. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Do what you can do. Sing the song you can sing. Trust in God with all of your heart. Get happy about where you are. Get happy about where you are. Thank God that things are as good as they are. And they're getting better every day. Praise God, because the best is yet to come. Stand up if you would. Praise the Lord. Just come done a little pastoral review tonight. Now, this is the key to turning nothing into something. I'm believing God. You know, just the last few hours of this year, thank God, we needed a miracle financially, and God sent a check through just in the last, literally. I know it came through the mail and so on, but it fell into my hands at the most opportune time. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want us to lift our hands and say, Lord, we're trusting for abundance. Oh, God, we're believing you. Hallelujah. We're believing God. We're believing God. We're believing God. Father, I believe that every dollar, every penny that is being given, I believe going out to the highways and the hedges, knocking doors, running these buses, going into communities, witnessing, winning and bringing them in. We're setting ourselves up for the greater blessings of God. Lord, you don't want our boats to be idle. You don't want our nets to be empty. You don't want us to be sitting on a rock by the waterside wishing we had caught fish all day long. Oh, Father, we thank you for the fish we have caught. And we know the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Shout the victory. It's time to shout the victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rababari under rababa karakasai. Oh, bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you just to join me in this front area. We're going to call in the greater harvest tonight. We're going to call in the greater harvest. Oh, we're believing God for a weekend of signs, wonders, and miracles. We're believing God. Hallelujah. We're believing God for financial blessing for you, for household salvation, for healing, for miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Oh, let God hear your voice on a Wednesday night. Let God hear your voice. We call in the harvest, Lord. Lord, we call in the harvest. We call in the harvest. Oh, we call in the harvest. We call in the harvest. We call in the harvest. Oh my. Lord, help us to bloom where we're planted. Oh, help our roots to go down where we are. In the name of Jesus. I think about it so many times. He was a very dear friend, and he was very sincere in what he said. He wasn't mean in what he said, but I was associate minister. Associate minister meant you clean 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th John. We only had four. Just 1 block from here, 1 mile from here. That meant you cut the grass and the gravel. That meant you cast the devils out of evaporative coolers on the roof. If you don't know what an evaporative cooler is, thank God you don't know. Something's always going wrong with them. And I was out mowing the grass and gravel one day, and a dear friend of mine came by from Bible college. Man, he had a brand new Cadillac. And he came up on the park. I saw him coming. I mean, I saw his profile. And so I had a hat. I just pulled it down. I didn't want him to see me. But he pulled right up on, I mean, it wasn't hard. He pulled right up where I was and honked a horn. Bam, bam. Okay. So I love him. He's a lovable guy. But, I mean, he's just an interesting case. And the anointing of God was on him. And he was holding big tent crusades. In fact, he preached with Jack Coe a number of times. And as an associate or a backup minister there in his meetings. And we talked for a few. He said, "What are you doing, man?" I said, "I'm associate pastor." And I'll never forget, Bernie, he said, "Bob, why don't you get in the ministry? Why don't you really get in the ministry?" He wasn't an ugly guy. I loved him, and he loved me. But he just couldn't see me doing what I was doing, being in the ministry. He said, "Why don't you get in the ministry, man?" I said, "Bernie, I am in the ministry. I am in the ministry." And, unfortunately, he burned out and had a heart attack at a too early age. He's gone. Good man. And you hear I'm on that parking lot. He roared off in his nice car, It wasn't the car. It was just, just the whole moment. It was a moment. And I just said, "God, I'm yours." And I remember one thing. He said, "Bob, you'll never go anywhere from here. You'll never go anywhere." He said, "You can't go anywhere from here, man. You're on a dead end." So I said, "No, I don't believe that. I don't believe." And isn't it amazing that it wasn't but a few months until God sent Dr. Gordon Lindsay into my life. We traveled with them for about 6 months and came back associate pastor. What I'm saying, serve God where you are. Give it the best go where you are. I mean, be happy where you are. And then God sent Dr. Kennedy Hagin by. I still look at it. For 4 weeks, twice a day, and the crowds were not good, really. By and large, the church did not receive the word of faith message. But he's told me on more than one occasion, he said, "Brother Bob, I believe God sent us there for you and Sister Joy." We'd go over to their little travel trailer, and man, they were pouring the word into us and challenging our hearts. Boy, I've learned some lessons, praise God, that from a gravel parking lot, you can go anywhere. B.B. Hankins used to sit down in West Columbia, Texas. They had one traffic light, and it was right in front of the church, West Columbia, Texas. And he'd tell the young preachers, from that one traffic light out front, in the will of God, you can go anywhere in the world. From that one traffic light, you can, if it's the will of God, you can go anywhere. Now that's just homespun, down-to-earth wisdom. And how God used him. That's Brother Hankins' father. Many of you enjoyed the ministry of the Hankins young people. Praise God. Very dear friend of ours. Father, we just thank you tonight. This has been kind of a homespun night. Lord, we've looked at a boat that was empty, and we've seen nets that were empty and discouraged fishermen. But Lord, when you come into our boat, things start to change. When we welcome you into our boat, things begin to change. And all you asked was just to thrust out a little bit, just move a little bit. You didn't even ask them for the big move to begin. Just do what you can do. And then came the further thrust. Oh, Rabasa. Father, I just declare, I prophesy the soul winner's fire is going to just ignite in every heart in this room tonight. Father, I just say that you're raising up in this church some of the most on fire believers that the world has ever known. That your anointing and your hand is upon the young ministers and all ministers. Father, I just thank you. In the name of Jesus, we've come through some very trying times the last few months, but out of it all, praise God, out of it all, as it was with Grenada, out of the little came the big. Father, I just declare for a decree, we're getting ready to see the goodness and the greatness of our God on a magnitude that we haven't seen, some have never seen. In Jesus' name, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Fill us with that fire, Father. Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, Holy Ghost and fire. Shila Borabakara. Let the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, let it overflow. The provision of God, the blessing of God, the financial blessing of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah.